and also in Ezekiel, when he saw a vision, and a man in linen cloth, the second person of the Holy Trinity, told him, go out and execute everyone who doesn't have the sign. The sign was a letter of the Phoenician alphabet. You know what the sign was? You know what letter it was? The letter T. Cross. Go out and mark. This is in the Old Testament. So we can see the uncreated energy of the Holy Cross alive all through the Old Testament. But do you know what happened to the snake? The snake that they used to heal the Israelites from that were bit by snakes. You think they kept it with them after it was used and everybody became healed? The commandment, Moses broke it up and made it like flour, destroyed it so they would not worship it as an idol. That was the purpose for that. But in the Old Testament, Moses himself, and this is, if anybody questions your icons, you take him to Exodus and you show them that God himself told Moses to make two huge golden cherubim in the Holy of Holies. So in the New Testament, yes, we can have holy images. But what images? Origen says an idol is a likeness of something that does not exist. So sure, if I make the image of a golden calf and we begin to worship it, we worship something that does not exist. A god that does not exist. That's an idol. But Origen says that if we make the image of something that exists, something connected to God, something holy, that is an icon. That is an icon. Our saints existed. And we have hundreds of icons for the saints. We have hundreds of miraculous icons. Our church history and our church experience, especially in Greece and Russia, we have icons that are miraculous, that heal people, icons that are fragrant. In Chicago, we have the icon of Saint Nicholas, which is gushing myrrh out for the last 5 years. A very, very sweet, sweet fragrance that falls from the icon to the floor. A number of healings have been taking place. The icon is right here, and at the end you'll have a chance to smell this heavenly scent, which is sent from heaven. And also the icon from Andros, which is a little bit different. I believe, Jim, maybe you have seen that icon. The icon of Andros, which is also a just very, very heavy, heavy perfume. Unexplainable by science. Inextricable to science. Last week, we mentioned about the icon that we saw, Stephen and I saw in Lipsy, in Dodecanese, where wild lilies are placed on this icon in March. 2-3 weeks later, they dry. 5 months later, around the 23rd of August, blooms and blossoms start coming out of these dry and desiccated lilies. This miracle has been taking place for the last 60 years since 1943. Italian scientists, German scientists, scientists from all over cannot explain any of this, and they never will until they believe. And once somebody believes, they know that everything is possible with God. A few days ago, coming back from Chicago, I passed from this monastery of Father Ephrem in Harvard, Illinois, about 40 miles outside of Chicago. This little icon was given to me by Father Akakios, one of the monks, and he had 2,000 more. And he told me how he got him. A young college student by the name of Fotios was partying Friday night. Fotios is a Greek Orthodox with probably a very, very pious mother who stuck this little icon in his coat pocket. So Fotios is going to the frat party. He walks in, and for those of us unfortunate enough to have been through colleges, you know what I'm talking about. It's Friday night, about midnight. The smoke is very thick. People are drinking all over. And Fotios is walking through this room, and in the middle of the room is this half-wasted, and that's exactly what happens. That word explains things very well. This half-wasted person is lounging on this chair. Fotios walks about 10 feet away from him. Never saw him before in his life. This person jumps up and attacks him. What business do you have bringing that icon in here? It's in your pocket. This person was demon-possessed. And the devil knows when an icon is right next to him because it burns him. It burns him. Because we'll talk next week and we'll spend the entire session on stories like this about the holy relics of the saints and why we venerate relics. And next week, try to be here because we're going to ask Father Nicholas to bring the relics of Saints Raphael, Nicholas, and Irene for some of the most miraculous relics in Greece today. So to finish the story, Fotios is petrified. He got out of there very, very quickly. And since then, his hair has been cut. He's back to church. He's back to Father Akakios, and he says, I am giving you 2,000 of these. He's very serious about his spiritual life. Why does this happen? Because God loves his saints and he wants to honor them. In the New Testament and in the Old Testament, the scriptures say, I will glorify those who glorify me. Those that honor me, I will honor. And they will do more things than I did, Christ says. And in the Gospel of John, Christ says when he's praying to the Father, Father, the glory that you gave me, I want to give to them. Give to them. So Christ glorifies his saints. He glorifies his saints. Not only in the next world, but also in this world as well. And the grace of God and the Holy Spirit does not leave the bones or the relics of the saints. Another powerful example in the Old Testament. Who remembers Elisha? Elisha was the disciple of Prophet Elijah. Elijah is flying for the chariot. And Elisha is screaming, "Father, Father, pray that I get twice the grace." And he says, "If you see me that I'm flying up, that'll happen." And of course, Elisha received the grace from Elijah. And Elisha died. And he was buried in a tomb. We bury our dead because we are made in the image of Christ. We are in the image of Christ, in the image of God. And more specifically correct, in the image of Christ. Because Adam was made in the image of Christ and not the opposite. Christ was not made in the image of Adam. Don't forget, for God, there is not yesterday, today, and tomorrow. There's no time for God. There's no time. God is before time, above and beyond time. No space and no time for God. So God sees everything in front of him, like it's happening now. So Elisha is dead. He's buried. And the Israelites, are also trying to bury someone else in that cemetery. So there's a funeral procession. And out of the mountains, they see a band of thieves. And guess what they did? They stayed and buried that person, right? No. They said, "Well, he's dead anyway." They just threw this person down and they took off. And this person, this dead person, was thrown on the tomb of Elisha. He resurrected immediately from the dead bones of Elisha the prophet. And this is, of course, a typology of the New Testament, where the bones, the relics of the saints, will maintain the grace of the Holy Spirit. But we will talk about the relics of the saints next week. At this point, if we have any questions specifically on this subject, on the saints, and also the icons of the saints and the icons.
That young fellow who went to the front, why was he picked? I mean, he really didn't have a great, I think he had a background.
Yeah, it's a good question. The question is, what did this young man, what was it so special about him? You know, why was he picked? It's not easy to answer, you know, because sometimes we don't understand these mysteries of God. One possibility is that his poor mother was on her knees for many, many years. And when, just like Saint Augustine, his mother Monica was on her knees for years and years and years. You know, Augustine was a lot of immorality. He did not believe. He was he was just a terrible, ethically at least. You know, he did not believe, and he caused Monica a great deal of concern and also tears. You know, so that's one possibility. When we pray for someone, then God intervenes. God intervenes. Also, the icons themselves have grace. It is possible also, as we're going to see next week, that an icon can receive the grace of a holy person. And that's why we have icons that are miraculous. Because the person that was writing that icon reached perfection in the relative sense. Nobody becomes perfect on this earth, but we have some people that reach theosis. They become godlike. So their grace actually goes on these objects, their objects. It's another possibility.
If I, we pray to her.
Mm-hmm.
How do we pray to her icon? The same as her son?
No. We pray, we ask for the intercessions.
Mm-hmm.
The intercessions. The Panagia. The Panagia is the mother. The mother of God. God, the Logos, the second person of the Holy Trinity. And she is where he is. She's not everywhere. But whatever she asks, she will most likely get. Sometimes he will not listen to her. If we become very, very hard, if we become very, very sinful, he actually tells her, don't pray for these people anymore. Do not ask for them. And then some of the icons weep.
I was in Cicero where her icon
was weeping.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes, usually in Holy Mountain where a catastrophe is going to take place. That's not always the case, by the way, but you know, many times when a catastrophe is coming or war, something destructive is going to take place, the icon weeps. The saints weep for us because they love us and they want to see us with Christ. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Yes.
More of a statement than you need to make a comment. I've heard once that the real icons of Christ are you and I, people in general. And if we revere these pictures on wood and plastic, shouldn't we have equal or even exceeding reverence for our brothers and sisters?
That's correct. Actually, a lot of the church fathers, the desert fathers who reached this kind of theosis we're talking about, when they would see another human being, you know, they would see the image of God. I mean, they would actually go and venerate him, kiss his hand, because we are something very, very, very special. The angels are not in the image of God. Only a human being. We are in the image of God. Not even the angels. So yes, we have to respect human life. We have to respect human life and try to do the best we can to bring them to the truth. Because the icon of God becomes desecrated through idolatry and through the passions, and the icon of Christ in that human being becomes destroyed, actually, becomes desecrated.
Yes, whenever I see a report on the news of a church being desecrated or a graveyard, and that generally rouses everybody's anger. But I think we become desensitized when we hear about crimes against our brothers and sisters.
Very true. That would be Charas Evangelia, as we say in Greek. But let's hope. And that's true. St. John Chrysostom says that, you know, in the olden days, he talks about that, and he says that the chalices were made out of wood, but the images of Christ, the people, were golden. Today, the chalices are gold, but the people are wooden. So yes, we are made in the image of Christ. However, these icons are to help us to get there by looking at the icons of St. Nicholas and St. Barbara and St. Gideon and all these different New Testament saints. When we look at these icons, we elevate ourselves to reach that level. And these icons do help us, because these are the Hall of Famers, so to speak. Okay. These are the champions of God. So when we have difficulty, then we go and pray to them. We pray to them because their proximity to Christ. They are very close to Christ. They're next to Him. They're in paradise. And they're constantly praying for us, the saints. They are more alive now than they were when they were on this earth. Any other questions? Okay, let's pray our Lord's Prayer. Father Michael and Father Costa, as you know, are away in Pittsburgh at a conference with our bishop. They'll be back next week. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and to the ages of ages. Amen. All together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Through the prayers of our holy fathers, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and save us. Amen. Thank you for coming.
Good.